Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Philippians, that it is your word, that it is as relevant today as it was when it was first written. We pray that as we open your word, read your words, that we will understand it, know where we need to change, and by your grace, we will grow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm talking about the idea of together forever. You know the idea of together, like linking arms and forever, which starts now and continues forever. Together forever. Everybody wants together forever. Movie audiences are always searching for a happily ever after. No one likes a sad ending. The term together forever is something that people often apply to romantic relationships. But for Christians, it means much more. What we do now together is a sign forever. So when we meet as church, it is a sign of eternity. It is recorded in heaven's database as a forever. When we sing, we join together. Each one joined together, it's a sign that we are to heaven, that we are forever. There's a new song we're singing at the moment, not this week, but I think next week, called Holy Forever. There's a couple of lines in there that go, angels cry, creation cries. Everybody's crying in this song because finally someone can offer us forever. Heaven is together forever. Hell is alone forever. Aussies laugh. At least I'll be with my mates. No, you won't. It's alone forever. It's like shattered glass on a car windscreen. I did this recently. Backed up into a horizontal beam, and I smashed the glass at the back, and I tell you, totally shattered. Every fragment, each alone, forever. But heaven is together forever. God owns forever. And so believers desire God because he can offer us forever. When we pray for our fellow believers' suffering, it is a sign to heaven that we are forever. When we eat lunch after the service, when we serve in teams, together forever. In the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the New Testament, there's a book about eternity. It's called the Book of Life. It's all about being found, your name being found in the Book of Life. It is one book. And it's an important one book because it is binding God's people together forever. Why is atheism depressing? What happens in atheism, what atheism teaches, is when you die, you cease to exist. That is such a downer. Compare that to God's love. In Psalm 136, it says, give thanks for his love endures forever. You know, people accuse Christians of going overboard on the idea of forever. Have you heard that? People say you spend too much time on the forever. I love this quote by Francis Chan. No relation to Brian or Richard. But it goes basically like this. He says, people accuse me of going overboard in preparing for my first 10 million years in eternity In my opinion, people go overboard worrying about their last 10 years on earth. The idea is people spend all their time wondering what they're going to do about their retirement. The last 10 years. Retire at 70. On average, make it to 80, 10 years. I like that. I also like this line from a comedian called Stephen Wright. He says, "I intend to live forever. So far, so good." I like that one. I find that funny. Anyway, let's continue. No one likes a separation. We prefer together. Reunion videos make us happy. So if you ever watch reunion videos on social media or YouTube, something like that, it makes us happy because it reminds us of the possibility of together forever. But what if there is love lost? Or what if there is love lost here on earth? The believer has the hope that we are together forever with God. One of the reasons buying material possessions can be so disappointing is because it conveys the temporary. Have you ever wanted something so bad and then you got it and it was disappointing? Like shoes. That happened in our household this week. So disappointing. Because it communicates the temporary. It can be a burden. This is why I like what Billy Graham, an old evangelist, said. He said, "Knowing we will be with Christ together forever far outweighs our burdens today. So keep your eyes on the prize, or keep your eyes on eternity." And so what happens, together forever, what happens when in society, when believers are under attack? And yeah, today in Australia, we're not really persecuted, but some people are, in subtle ways, are opposed for being Christians. What happens? Well, Paul says some pretty chilling words to those who are not believers and comfort to those who are. He says these words in our passage today, verse 28. "Do not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you." So he's writing to the Philippians, Christians, and he says, "Do not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed alone forever, sustained by punishment, but that you who believe will be saved." The idea is together forever, and that by God. God is the one who saves us. Together forever. So what might kill the hope of together forever in the believer? It is the law of perfectionism. The idea of being perfect. Perfectionism is a killer. The devil, he loves perfectionism because he knows we're going to fail to meet the standard. Perfectionism is grounded in the law of effort, the law of reaching God's holy standard. But we cannot reach God's holy standard. So what happens is we become, when we're a bit of a perfectionist, we become critical of people. We become always correcting others. Perfectionism makes us anxious about what's going to take place in our life because perfectionism leads to wanting to be life to be safe and smooth. Perfectionism is nothing is acceptable except a ATAR of 100. Even if that's not even possible. Nothing is acceptable except that ATAR. Perfectionism is heaven on earth. That's why the prosperity gospel is a crock. Because you cannot do it. Heaven on earth. Heaven is heaven, earth is earth. Let me ask you, are you a perfectionist? It sucks the life out of together forever. So Paul counters this by using the word any in verse 1 we read today. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion. Notice how he doesn't say perfect. He doesn't say, therefore, if you have perfect encouragement, like every hour of the day, all the time, if you have perfect comfort from his love. He doesn't say that. He says any. So any encouragement. So encouragement is a peace or a warm feeling of belonging to Jesus. Have you ever had that? He says comfort from his love. So if you've been hugged from another by another believer, it can remind you of God's love for you. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a common sharing in the Spirit? So we were at Kick recently, and those at Kick, notice how there were a lot of hands raised and there was heaps of joy in that place. It is an example of common sharing of the Spirit. And also we had Raymond out the front here last week talking about NYC, and Iris as well, who went to NYC and asked how it went. They said they loved it, and Iris privately later, she said she loved it. Absolutely. It's a Christians coming together. It is a common sharing of the Holy Spirit. It brings joy, love being there. Have you ever had that? Or any tenderness? It's like a cup of warm tea on a cold day given by a fellow Christian. Experience any kind of tenderness or compassion. You've had a bad week and then a fellow believer sits alongside you and prays for you. Have you ever had that? One of the reasons people give up on church is they want perfect experiences. They want people to behave perfectly. The reality is there's going to be people in this room who disappoint you at times. There's going to be people in your family, even believers in your family, who disappoint you at times. If you're married, your spouse is going to disappoint you at times. And you say, I know that. That's why being a perfectionist is a killer. So we've got to lose perfectionism and we've got to go with the any. Any. It helps to foster and encourage and build up the together forever. So Paul adds, he says, therefore, if you have any of these things, encouragement, all those sort of things, he said, then make my joy complete. Now, incidentally, joy is completely different to perfectionism, and you know what I mean. You can have the glass full of joy. You can be fully loaded with joy, but not suffer from the OCD of perfectionism. You know, not suffer from the battle of perfectionism. So it's completely different. That's just an incidental point. But he says, Paul adds, therefore, if you have any of these things, encouragement, any of these experiences in your church, here at Campsie, any of these things, then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. And you can see the idea of together, by having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. So see the idea of together. And this is eschatological. Okay, big word, lots of syllables, but it basically means the Bible is moving us towards end times. And so this together that Paul is seeking for the Philippians and for us isn't just now and then later in eternity we lose it and we do our own thing. It is always the Christian, a glimpse now, fulfilled later. So together, forever, always. That is Paul, that's what Paul is looking at. So let's go to the Bible. Go to the book of Philippians, which of course is our series. We're going to see that together forever is based on the gospel. And let's start with a map, which is there. I like to always keep the map because I think it's helpful for us to understand what's going on in any book, including this book, Philippians, when we have a picture of that. These are real places, real times, real world. It's a reality. So, and it's as relevant today as it was back then. And so, Paul, first century, OK?
Okay, apostle called by Jesus, his words are Jesus' words. That's why they have absolute authority over us. Paul, he's in prison. See that in Rome. You can see that under the red line in the Middle East there. He's in prison because he's preaching the gospel. It is a brutal place today in prison. If you're in prison, the state looks after you. Back then, the state didn't look after you. They locked you up, but they didn't look after you. If you're going to survive, you had to have people outside to bring things in. He obviously had people outside, and he often talks about being thankful for the help that you've given me. He had people outside who gave him materials, food, etc. to live, and also to write letters. And so we see that he writes a letter to the Christians in the area of Philippi, and you can see that under the green line, which is Greece. Which is Greece today. That's the area of Greece. You can still visit it if you'd like to go there one day. Maybe we can organise a bushwalk there one day. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, it'd be fun. Under the green line is Philippi. And he writes about finding joy, which is the big idea in the book. But he also writes about their togetherness. And so in this passage, he writes that he's a believer in the gospel. And they are believers. He is suffering for the good news of Jesus. They are suffering. He is persecuted. They are persecuted. He is under attack. They are under attack. So verse 30, we read these words that they saw Paul opposed for proclaiming the gospel. And then Paul writes, they too were sharing the same struggle for proclaiming the gospel. They were opposed. And so Paul writes, whether I leave prison and visit you or remain in chains in Rome, stand firm together. So, Paul, big picture, he lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. And therefore, in this letter, we read this, he says, whatever happens to you, likewise, you Philippians, is relevant to us or us today, live in a manner worthy of the calling you've received, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Live that way. And so the idea is unity, the idea is together, and it's not temporary, it's forever, with the same love, seeking the same joy, together with the gospel, regardless of what happens in your life, whether you're in prison or you're in Philippi, different situation, you're going to be suffering in different ways. He says that. He says just live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Okay, so together forever is the plan. It was a plan back then, it's the plan today. And so we might ask, what now? Okay, together forever, great. What's that mean? What are we going to do, guys? What are we going to do, Campsie? Whenever someone asks in a sermon, what now? You go, okay, well let's go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says about what now, what to do next. Okay? And then we go back there and we see in verse 27, here's what Paul says. After he says, I know that you will, at the end of the sentence says, I know that you will stand firm in one spirit, striving together. So verse 27, what do we do now, together forever? We strive to that end. Strive, again, is link arms, work together. Together. Get over the line as a Christian. Finish the race. Console one another. Encourage one another. Unity together. Comfort one another. And if people oppose you, Paul says, don't be frightened by them. It is a sign they will be destroyed alone forever. You will be saved together forever. But strive to this end. Strive together. Campsie, Congregational Church, here we are. Here are your brothers and sisters in Christ. These relationships matter most. And the reason I can say that is because these relationships with your fellow Christians, those who are Christians, are the one that are going to last forever.
so they matter most. So we look around and we seek to strive together. And of course, when we think of our loved ones, family and friends who may not be believers, who are unbelievers, we witness to them because we want them to be together forever, because these are the relationships that are going to last forever. And so they matter most. And church, what are our values? We're called to strive together, so what are our values here in church? Well, every week I say it, worship, grow and go. So the idea is we worship together. We sing together. Some of you are not singing. When we sing, some of you are not singing. I want to encourage you to join in. You don't have to be heard perfectly by everybody, but try and make an audible sound. Okay, move them out, join in. And the reason is it because it is a sign to heaven that we are together, that you are one of us forever. That's why we join together. That's why we meet. Or some of you are believers, but you're not baptized. Get baptized. And so we can join together in communion. Again, which is a sign to heaven that we are together, united, now continues into forever. And so we worship together. We strive to that end. And we also strive to grow together. See, Christianity is not the sport of being a lone ranger. You've got to be careful of those temptations to run Christianity on your own. That's what the devil wants you to do. It's actually super destructive. We're not meant to be alone. It's what causes us to become indifferent and to drift. We'll always say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, but we'll drift. And it's a sign to heaven, are we really together? No, we grow together. We get alongside each other. We're not perfect. We're looking for the any kind of tenderness, any kind of compassion. We're not perfect. In heaven we'll be perfect, but we're not perfect now. But we try and get alongside each other. Because remember, every lonely believer that you sit next to here at Campsie and you talk to is a sign to heaven that you guys are together forever. Every fellowship meal, every time we gather and you talk to someone, is a sign to heaven that we are together forever. And so we grow together. We strive to that end together. Unity. We strive to go out and tell other people the gospel. And, you know, I really value every now and then some of you come to me and say, you know, there's someone at work or there's a friend. I'm trying to, you know, take the opportunity. It's not easy to have these conversations, but I'm trying to share the gospel. I'm looking for ways to be even indirect and sort of say to someone I went to church so they might ask me, but that's all great. The idea is we want to go out. And so the people we love, even strangers on the street, because we love people, that they might hear about the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, and they might become believers. So we can all be together forever to God's glory who saves us. That's what we value. That's what I try and instill in you guys and in myself. But we strive to that end. We strive to be together forever. So we strive. Elsewhere in this passage, Paul talks about stand firm on the word. Society wants us to stand loose on the word, to pick and choose the bits that work. You know, to maybe keep the word on you, the Bible on your phone, but just leave it there. You know, unless you know you need a little bit from it for some reason. No, we want to stand firm on the word, not loose on the word. Or this passage also talks about strive together to be one spirit. So this is not two spirit. Society insists that there are many ways to God. Jesus says there's only one way to the Father, and that is through him. There is not two ways to live. There is only one way to live. The other way is alone forever. And he also says, and it's a key phrase in this passage, at the end of the passage, he says, be like-minded. This is like-minded on the gospel. And it makes sense. If we're together, we're Christians, we're together. A little bit like a soccer team. If we're in a soccer team, we don't kick the ball the wrong way into own goal. We want to kick it in the same direction. As we want to be like-minded, like on the right team together to that end, such as worshipping, such as growing together, such as going out and knowing that we're not perfect, but doing those anys when we get a chance. Doing those anys like encouraging one another, consoling and meeting together, and tenderness and compassion. And I see that in you guys. I see you guys. Sometimes some of you go through some struggles at school or at uni or at work, and there are others here who get alongside you and pray for you and care for you. That's great. That's an example of the any. Just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. It's awesome. Praise be to God. Strive together. Console each other. Holy kisses. You know the New Testament always talks about holy kisses? We don't like holy kisses. We prefer handshakes and hugs. But the idea is the same. Together. Strive. So how's it going? What's something that you can do this week to show to heaven that you guys are together forever? Maybe you can serve in kids' church, in youth group, in music team. Maybe something on the roster that you can do to show that we are together forever. Maybe you can come along to Bible study. Maybe you can come with us to our lunch after the service. Maybe you can come on the bushwalk. It's just a simple conversation with another believer. Sign that we're together forever. Yeah. See, heaven is crying out for God's people to show that we're together forever. Let's go to the last words, of course, give to Jesus. Jesus in John 17, after he prays for his people, the disciples receiving eternal life, he prays for all believers. And here's what he prays. My prayer is not for them alone. So these are the disciples who were following him around at that time, which he prays about them beforehand. But he continues for all believers. He says, I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. See, that's similar to Philippians. Father, one may be one. Father, just as you and me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Strong togetherness, isn't it? I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be as one. We are one. He's talking to us, believers in the future. I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity, which is forever. Jesus wants his people to be together forever. And Paul makes this clear that he wants us to strive to that end. Let's pray.